Turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. We've been studying that off through Sunday school. Book of Nehemiah, but the Lord laid on my heart a few things. Book of Nehemiah. We'll end up going to chapter 4. I'm going to have to turn down my windstorm up here, if you'll give me just a second. Nehemiah was born in captivity. The exile had formally ended around 583 B.C., he knew and worked with Ezra. He probably knew or knew of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Esther, and could have met Daniel. It's quite interesting when you study about these guys and then you realize that they were all in the same area, in the same era. We were about to have a wreck right there, but I got it fixed. When he comes on the scene, here the book of Nehemiah, when he comes on this scene, it had been about 100 years since the fall of Jerusalem. A lot of people had stayed in Babylon and Assyria for numerous reasons, but one, they were prospering. Two, they kind of liked their new home. Many had been born there, so they didn't really know a whole lot about Jerusalem. Chapter 1 tells us, let's read this. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 1 says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant are that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, he says that, and it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So these men showed up around November, December. They let him know how his homeland, which, remember, he had never been to, they let him know what kind of shape it was in. It was falling apart. People were hungry. They were. It was in ruins. And he says he sat down and he prayed. Now, he didn't really get an answer. And he didn't go before King Artaxerxes until March or April. You see, it jumps right into it, but when you study it and you figure out that, guess what? He didn't get an answer from God, and Artaxerxes didn't say a word to him until around March or April. So that's a lesson we can learn, that if you're praying about something, you're seeking an answer diligently about something, you have a burden about something going on or someone, and you don't get an answer today, or if you don't get an answer tonight, or if you don't get an answer next week, don't panic. God will answer you in His time. And be honest with you, you won't be disappointed when the answer comes through. That was terrible. You, whenever you get an answer from God, guess what? You will not be disappointed. Amen. Oh, there we go. Everybody woke up. That's good. That's good. Listen, when an answer from God comes to me, I don't care if it's a five-year-old prayer and I pretty much forgot about it. When it comes through, I'm not disappointed and I get excited. I'm like, whoa, wow. I thought he forgot about me. Listen, God don't forget about us. But we need to continue praying about things. Nehemiah was serious about his prayers, about his burden for his countrymen, and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He was a man of great faith in his God. God had laid on his heart a great task to do. Nehemiah knew something that we need to get into our hearts. Whatever God tells you, whatever He lays on your heart, you can count on it. He's going to see it through. He's going to see it through all the way to the very end of it. God sees through what He tells you. He sticks with you and covers what needs to be done. And He stuck with Nehemiah. Nehemiah rebuilt these walls in about 52 days. Now, there was a gap in there. They had some trouble. But nonetheless, he got them built in about 52 days. And it was not under people cheering and saying, "Yes, we're glad you're building the wall." It was under a lot of ridicule. It was under a lot of persecution. A lot of threats were going out to him and the people. But you know what he did? He never let that stop him. He kept right on working. He didn't let it drag him off into some quiet corner, because he knew God was going to stick with him. Now, I got a buzz back here, and I think it's this thing here. Yeah. Isn't that nice? You thought it was in your head. It's not. You know, I believe today that we can get encouraged and that we can gain a great deal of wisdom from this man, Nehemiah. And I believe we can use it in our work and our life with the Lord. Turn over to chapter 4. And I was reading chapter 4, and actually, this kind of all started. We do a devotion every morning, me and Sandy, and she did this certain devotion. It kind of hit points of this, and I think she looked at me. She said, "We got to stay alert," and I'm like, "Yeah, we do." I just kind of rang a bell with me, and I wrote it down. Well, I got to reading in Nehemiah, and the Lord started laying on my heart how to compare his day with our day. Because sometimes I get real irritated when I read the Bible and everything was for them guys. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I need some help myself. And the Lord laid that on my heart, how it helps me. So let's look at chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and verse 1 said, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation." By the way, that indignation is anger. "And he mocked the Jews and spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews do?'" What do these feeble Jews? "Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" And now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. And he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Nehemiah, he prays. He said, "Hear, O God, hear, O our God, for we are despised." Our prayers today ought to be like this. We are despised by this world that we live in. We're going to get into a lot of that, but he says, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The first thing that I get from him is we need to take a stand and do the good work to glorify God. You see, Nehemiah took a stand in the face of all the opposition. He had enemies. And by the way, that's the title of the message today, is we have enemies. Unfortunately, you have some enemies. You may not have wanted any, but you've got them. We've got plenty of them. Matthew 5:16 said, let your heart so shine before men, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, Nehemiah, he heard what they were saying. He knew what they were doing. He prayed and he said, listen, we're despised, oh God. And by the way, they despise God. And he said, help us out here. Help us to do what we're doing. He took a stand for what he believed. He became, what would you say, unmovable. David wrote in Psalm 62, and if you get a chance, you go read that whole psalm. But Psalm 62, he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, hey, God is my rock. He is my salvation. I'm not going to be greatly moved. But then when you read a little further, he says in verse 6, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He planted a foot and he said, done deal. I ain't moving. You know, I was in the military. They'd call us out and they'd say, attention. And boy, we're all standing there, you know, perfectly. And then they'd say, okay, rest. Well, rest meant that I could just kind of stand there, but my right foot better not move. It had to stay in that position. They used to pick on us that, hey, you can go to China at rest, as long as that right foot's there. Don't move that right foot, because when I say attention, boom, you snap right back together. You see, we've got to get that. It don't need to be that we're not greatly moved. We need to be solid and take a stand and be unmovable. You see, they also had a mind to work. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go read that, you see what Jesus did. Jesus left the splendors of heaven, came down here, became a servant for you, became a servant for me, didn't even have his own home. According to over in the book of John, he used a rock for a pillow. But yet he was obedient all the way to death for you. You see, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't we owe him to serve? Should we not take a stand for what he died for? Should we not be unmovable for what he died for? You bet we should. We should take a stand. We ought to be unmovable. We ought to have a mind to get busy for the Lord. But not only that, look at verse 9 of chapter 4. He said, nevertheless, we better pick back up at 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth. They got really angry. And it says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Listen, we need to be ready at all times for whatever's going to happen, because we don't know what's around the corner. Go with me over, hang on to Nehemiah. Go with me over the book of Ephesians. That's a little ways past Genesis. Quite a few books past Genesis. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. In other words, watchful. Not as fools, but as wise. We're not to be idiots running around out here. We got enough of them in D.C. What we need to do is we need to be wise in our walk. Don't be as a fool. He says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Listen, we live in evil times. We're trying to build the church for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't think they're against that? Oh, they are. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, we need to be watchful. There's false teachers out there. We're going to get a little deeper in that in a minute. There's demonic activity is rampant. People will try everything in the world to pull you away from what you're taking a stand for, what you're claiming, I'm not unmovable. They'll pull you, I'm going to be unmovable, I'm not going to leave for this, and people will do their best to pull you away from that. Your family, unfortunately, will do their best to keep you and keep you from serving the Lord. Listen, you want to miss church? You want to stop serving the Lord? You want to drop your devotion time? They've got all sorts of activities in the world that you can get involved in, and it'll keep you busy, busy, busy. You know what busy stands for? B-U-S-Y? Being under Satan's yoke. That's exactly what it is. Listen, you can get too busy in the church. You can get too busy in the church and not be serving God. Well, I do this and I do that, and I'm always busy at the church. You got time for prayer? You got time for devotion? You better back off of being busy. The Lord will make room for what all you need to do, but if your time is consumed to where you're not serving the Lord the way you ought to be, listen, you're too busy. You're under Satan's yoke. You got problems. Trust me. He's all too willing to get you there too. Now, number five, the next thing I come with, let's continue to read verse 9. We read that. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You see, they started getting them worried about things, and they started getting them discouraged, because that's what needs to be done. If you want to pull somebody from something, you got to get them discouraged. You got to do some threatening with them. And it came to pass in verse 12 that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, they're going to get you. They're after us. And they are. Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the wall, that's Nehemiah, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. You see, when I was reading this, the next thing come to my mind was what Brother Roger read out of the bulletin. Jude 3. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to contend for the faith. What does that mean, contend for the faith? Well, I'm going to get to this, but it means with a capital F-I-G-H-T. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you mean physically? Possibility, yeah. Listen, it means you need to know what you're doing. You need to take a stand. You don't need to be moved. You need to stand on the Word of God, stand with God on what's going on, and contend for the faith. And if it necessarily means we may have to fight physically, by all means. I don't have a problem with it. Listen, I grew up fighting. Actually, I always kind of liked it. I never started one, but my dad's drugged me off quite a few. If you don't believe it, ask him. He'll be here around the end of May probably. I never had a problem getting a bloody nose. No big issue. Listen, let me tell you something really serious. We have laws that are changing in our nation. They got a law right now. They've tried to pass it before. They're pushing it through again. And people do not realize what it will do. If they pass this law, we will not be coming to church anymore. In this law, it says that a homosexual, a sodomite, whatever you want to call them, walks down this aisle and says, I'm a minister and I need to serve. That guess who? Yours truly, your pastor, Jim Smith, and you guys are supposed to vote that person in and allow them to operate in this church. No. I'll shut the door and burn the building first. Because if you ever allow that kind of mess in here, it's no longer a church. It ain't no longer going to be preaching out of the Word of God if that kind of mess passes. But all these laws are out there and we're ignorant of it. You got to get in there and dig. I'll give you an example. Lady right across here a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, maybe four now, she got chickens. Well, they were running all around having a good time pecking. Well, my neighbor across the road here from the church got chickens too. We call them church chickens. Because you come over to the church, they're all out here, pick, 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 pick. And they're having a good time. I didn't have a problem with it. The lady over here gets in touch with me and says, I got a problem, can you help me? I said, I don't know, what's your problem? I got to do 875 hours of community service. I said, Lord, what'd you do? Well, my chickens were running free. I said, well, so does everybody else's. She said, not as of midnight last night. I said, what are you talking about? She said, a new law come into effect. They didn't tell everybody. You know what they told her? You're supposed to check to see what new laws are coming into effect. Really? That's hogwash. You're going to pass a new law that can cause you a problem. They need to be telling folk, but they don't. They like to sneak it in little bitty ways. That's what they're doing. The laws are changing. Listen, there's people that are stepping up to run for president. I'm going to be up front with you. I wouldn't let them walk my dog in my own backyard, much less run my country. Crazy. They're lunacy. People running around up there. It's been a big joke about this AOC idiot. But I'm going to tell you something. When you say we don't need airplanes and we don't need cars and we don't need cows because they pass gas, I'll change the wording. Listen, a person like that needs really examined and probably put in a straitjacket because they shouldn't be walking the street with you. They're dangerous individuals and they're playing a very dangerous game. And here's the sad part. They're dealing with, as we call them now, the millennials. And they ain't got enough common sense to crank a lawnmower. The majority of them. And they don't know what they're doing. And they'll vote for anything. And on top of that, we got this Fruit Loop out of back east somewhere. He's basically out of the pits of hell. Bless his heart, he fought for my country. I appreciate he was a veteran, but now he's openly gay and is considering running for president. Gonna be a Democrat. Well, he is one. Listen, there's a problem with that. We've got all of these laws changing. They are attacking us. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are ungodly. They stand for everything that's evil. Abortion, homosexuality, communism, etc., etc. You can go on and on and on. They say separation of church and state. Let me explain to you what that means here in a minute. Separation of church and state is what they all cry about. Here, let me give you a good example. What it really means is that it was put in place to keep any one denomination from running our country. That's really what, you see, they came out of England in the 1700s, 1692 to be exact, I believe it was, is when old Columbus dude sailed. They came over here because they had a one world government. They had a one government religion that ran everything. They called it Catholicism. The Baptist, believe it or not, was offered to be the main religion in Holland. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. That's not what we're to do. You see, that's the whole idea of separation of church and state, is to not allow a denomination, even if it's the right one, to run the nation, to run that government, because there becomes way too much hierarchy and way too much power. It did not mean let's boot God out of government, which is what they're doing. I had a lady the other day in Pennsylvania, was it? Yeah, she in Pennsylvania. They ask her to give an invocation to pray before this meeting. She prayed. She's a Christian. Guess what? She prayed in Jesus' name. They got all bent out of shape and treated her like garbage. And then this little rag head up there that should never be in our government, by the way, she prays and it's Allah, 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 Allah. Listen, that is wrong. Amen. But they're attacking us. Oh, but separation of church and state, and we're freedom to have any religion in this country. True, unless you believe in Jesus. But true, we're supposed to have any denomination. You ought to be able to worship freely. Do I agree with that? You bet I do, 100%. But our nation, our government, does not have a denomination running the government. But it does have the Almighty God. I've had people say, oh, you're one of them Baptists, aren't you? Well, I'm a Biblicist. The reason I'm a Baptist is because they follow it closer than anybody else I know. But first and foremost, I'm a biblicist. Listen, I believe in God's word. It's the only word of God. It's the truth, the only truth in America and the rest of this world. And I'm going to stand on it. Amen. And our country was built on the word of God, not the word of Allah, not the word of Islamic, not the word of Hindu, not the word of Joseph Smith, but on the word of God, the Almighty God, which, by the way, is Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. Amen. See, that's that's narrow-minded. Bless your heart, Jesus was narrow-minded. He said narrow is the way. He didn't say broad. He said, narrow is the way that's going to get you to heaven. You see, we've got problems in this country. Listen, it is impossible to rightly govern and rule this nation without God and the Bible. And that God ain't Allah. It's without the Almighty God and the Bible. If we don't have that, we can't rule this nation correctly. By the way, that's a proven truth. Just back up several years ago. You can't do it without God. So we need to contend for the faith. We need to stay ready. Verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded on his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Now, let me explain to you what they did. Nehemiah says, this is what we're going to do. Everybody's got to have a sword and a spear, and you work with one hand, guard yourself with the other. We're also going to put guards around day and night. And we're going to put in use a trumpet. Boop! And guess what? That trumpet goes off. You go to the sound of that trumpet. You find where it came from. That's where you need to be. You see, safety and encouragement is in numbers. Proverbs 11:14 said, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitudes of counselors, there's safety. 24:6, he said, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors, there's safety. They were to run to that area. They were all together because in numbers, they're stronger. Now, what's that mean for us today? How's that? We don't blow a horn. Way back in the day, when I was living down in Kentucky, all the churches got a, what do they call it, belfries. Got a big, huge bell in there. And I'd talk to some of the old timers down there, and they'd say, yeah, something went on in town, boy. We heard bong, bong. We all came to the church. Because we could figure out what was happening, who needed help, what was going on, what we needed to do. You see, we can't do that now. It makes sense. We're massive. The cities are spread out. People live all over. But really and truly what it means for us today, being ready, we need to stay ready by being faithful to the Lord in our prayers. That's what that horn is. We need to be faithful to the Lord in our prayers. Listen, that horn is sounding. It's not just once in a while. It is sounding in this nation. We need to be faithful to Him in our prayers, in our devotion time. And yes, you knew I'd bring it up. Church! Listen, this is where we come to get encouragement, to understand how serious the matter is. This is where we get our learning at. You want to strengthen your faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Don't just turn on the radio and trust whatever Fruit Loop's on there. And you got these preachers that come on the TB whatever. Listen, they got problems, the majority of them. They start asking you for money, and if you watch them long enough, they swing in their coats and blowing on people and They got issues. They're wanting your money. They don't give a flip about you. You got to be careful with them. That's that false teachers that are out there. You see, by doing this, by staying faithful to prayer, by staying faithful to devotion time, and by staying faithful to the Lord's church, by doing that, we are telling our enemies something. We're letting our enemy know, listen, I fear God more than men. I don't care what you think. I'm going to stand, I'm going to take a stand, I'm going to be unmovable, I'm going to be ready, I'm going to stay alert. Listen, what I'm basically telling my enemies is, you want to argue with me, you want to try to harm me, bring it on. Down south, they say, you feel froggy, jump. I've said that more than once. I said, somebody want to get in a fight, you feel froggy, jump. Lay them out. Listen, I ain't scared of them people. I fear God more than I do them nuts in D.C. and down here in our government. I don't care. I'm going to take a stand for God if it means me starting a prison ministry on the inside. I've been in jail before, and I'll do it again. I ain't got a problem with it. You see, you got to tell them, bring it on. We come together. There's probably two people in here who understand what I'm about to say. When we're together, we watch each people's six. S-I-X. That's my back. You see, I got people here that watch my back. One sitting right back there. One sitting right here. One's over here. I've got them all over. They're watching my back because we come together and that's what we're to do for each other. We see each other falling in a fault. We need to say, hey, you come here. We see some kind of mess going on. Alert, let me know. I need to know about it. I need to look into it. I'm trying here lately not to watch the news. I just for giggles, I didn't watch Fox for about 2 weeks. Listen, Lord help us. It was worse than the young and the restless. I turned it on 2 weeks later and they ain't moved but about five words off of what they were talking about 2 weeks earlier. I'm like, it's supposed to be news. Tell me about a hurricane or a tornado, but they got to tell you all this other stuff, which is good. You know, but I want you to notice something when we were reading. You see, the enemy attacks the weak, the vulnerable, the weak in faith, the babes in Christ. That's who he comes after. But you notice when you read Nehemiah, it says they were almost done. They were right at the end, and boy, they started pushing the threats. You see, the opposition against Israel and Nehemiah grew stronger and stronger and stronger the closer they got to finishing. You know what that spoke to me about? Honestly, when I read that, it's true with us. The closer that we get to Jesus Christ returning, the worse things get for believers. The closer it gets to the Lord returning, the stronger we get and the more we grow and the closer it gets to His returning, the more they start jumping down our throats a whole lot more and they start threatening with all sorts of problems. But we've also got prayer on our side. So what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Listen, Nehemiah, the reason he kept those people together and the reason he got it done is he encouraged them. See, I like encouragement. I don't like discouragement. Discouragement makes you want to sit around and we're done. It's over with. Just go sit on a hill somewhere and wait for the rapture. Ain't no need to eat. No, I'm hungry now. So what do we do? First, we need encouragement from God. You know where I go to get my encouragement from God? Right here. I go to the Word of God. He gives me encouragement. And in Daniel 2:28, in that state, he has a statement in there. There is a God in heaven. Amen. It don't matter what's going on in our life, there is a God in heaven. No matter what they may say, there's a God in heaven working in my life. But look at verse 20 of Nehemiah 4. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Now look at the last statement. Everybody read that. Our God shall fight for us. Say that again. Our God shall fight for us. Listen, we serve a living God. We don't serve one that's been dead and eaten by worms already. Our God is alive. He's in heaven, and I watch Him work all the time. Sometimes He wows me with what happens. It's like, whoa, boy, oh, ye a little faith. You see, the battle's won already, by the way. If you go and read the end of the Bible, you'll find out the battle's already won. It's a done deal. I know where I'm going. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. That's when the Lord comes back and says, come up in there, and boom, I'm out of here. Every knee one day shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So listen, what we need to do, knowing that there's a God in heaven, knowing that our God will fight for us, the battle's not ours, it's God's. Knowing this, we need to take a stand, be unmovable, be ready, contend for the faith, and stay ready. Don't get pulled away. Because we can get pulled away that quick. That quick it can happen. Oh, Pastor, I'd never deny Jesus. Tell Peter that. Peter walked and talked with him, touched him, watched the miracles he'd done, walked on water. You ever walked on water? I hit the water so fast one time I was skiing. I slid across water, but then eventually I sunk. Peter got out of the boat, walked across the water, but yet he said, I don't know the man. Three times. Listen, we got to stay alert. We got to contend for that faith. We got to be ready, be unmovable, and take a stand for the Lord God. If nothing else, because of what He's done for you. Amen. He died on the cross for us. Amen. Shed His blood for us that, listen, we can have eternal life, and it's not hard to get it. People, how do you get eternal life? Listen, it's not hard. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He said, thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Oh, well, there's repentance and all. Listen, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize what He done, all of that's starting to work already. And thou shalt be saved. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up and pick us out an invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, no one looking around.